Hello, this is Carl with Bible Study on Freedomizer Radio with Carl. Just bear with me. I'm connecting my phone up here. Okay, I'm getting it ready. Okay. We're going to start a little bit of a new series today. It's going to be a continuation. I've already got a call. 806-701. Microphone. Hello.
Hi, this is
Hello?
Winter.
Yes, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. When you said winter, you threw me for a second,
but I know who you are. You know, because I have some programs so on the radio, so that's what everybody calls me on the radio. So.
Okay, well, you just threw me for a minute. Okay. Anything you want to say before I get rolling here?
I just want to say I've got my clipboard, I've got a pen, I've got a Bible, and I'm looking forward to the study.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. Did what I sent you yesterday in a message make sense? Could you see the verses?
I actually did not have a chance to look at it. I saw it. I had a technology-free Sabbath yesterday. So I saw it just before I went on air last night, and then I was on air again this morning, and I haven't had a chance to look at it in depth, but I did see that you sent me something.
Oh, no, not in depth. Just make sure you can read it. I just gave it to you so you're prepared for the verses.
Okay.
You know, just so you have a list of the verses I'm going to go through.
Right.
Okay. We're going to go ahead now and start, and this is going to be...
And it looks like I can read it, yes.
Okay, good. I want to just make sure because I took the picture, and for me sending it over, the technology
job.
Is a challenge for me. Okay, so I will. Let me go ahead and give you a number to call in on. It's 319-527-6208. Now, Winter, when you called, did you have to hit a 1 to get into the queue?
No, because you just hit the microphone and brought me on.
Yeah,
so you can tell people to hit a 1 if you want to know if they have a question and just leave it alone if they're just listening.
Okay.
Or you can talk to, you know, anybody that comes on and see if they have a question, either way.
I was told that you don't go onto my screen without a 1, but that's irrelevant. The number you call is 319-527-6208. And if you have questions, fine. If you want to just listen, whatever you want to do, and that will get you on the program. And I'm going to start a series today, and it's going to be... We're going to be kind of lengthy. In other words, it's not going to be over in one and a half hour session. And I am going to entitle this, I'll read 1 John, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, what I want to establish before we go any further in this, this is not going to be a program because I don't have the answers, or I'm going to define when the end is coming, that I'm going to be able to tell you who or what the Antichrist is, or the or the Mark of the Beast. And right now, with this virus and everything going on in the world, I have heard just talk about pandemic. It's pandemic of all the things that we're identifying already. What I want to do is talk about what the Bible says. The Bible says that 2,000 years ago, there was a spirit. You can hear. There was a spirit of Antichrist. And that was in the church. The epistles are written to believers. Every word in the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, per 2 Timothy 3:15, will preach the salvation message. 2 Timothy 3:16, the whole scripture, all of scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is valuable for reproof, reproach, correction, and instruction. So, for me to say that the epistles are written only to believers, the letters were written to believers, the Holy Spirit can use anything he wants to convict, correct, train, rebuke, reproof a person that he wants. But all of the letters of the epistles were written to believers. So the reason I've stressed that for three times now in this short period of time is I want you to understand the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is all I'm going to talk about today. I can't talk about anything more because I don't know more. Is alive and well now in the church as it has been for 2,000 years. And what is the spirit of Antichrist? And we're going to go only by the Bible, Christ. Every spirit, 1 John 4:3, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is very, very, very well defined here. And I'm going to read you a whole lot more verses that will explain it even further, in more depth than one verse. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit that does not believe, preach, and teach the Jesus Christ of the Scripture. The Jesus Christ of the Scripture. Even religions which have no interest in Christianity. That Jesus Christ, a man named Jesus Christ, who claimed to be of God, claimed to be God, existed. We know that. That's not what this is saying. That the Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, who does not confess that. It is the Jesus Christ of the Scripture. Let me read you some verses in Galatians 1:8 and 9 that might solidify the point. What the scripture is going to say, and I've got plenty and plenty of verses, is we cannot pick and choose the Jesus Christ we want to believe in. We have to do as it said in the Old Testament, when all the animal sacrifices were offered. In Leviticus chapter 1, I believe it's verse 7, says that the whole burnt offering is consumed by fire. The whole burnt offering. And every one of the offerings were a type of or symbol of the coming Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We cannot treat Jesus Christ as a buffet. We cannot take and preach and teach or even believe in parts of him that we want to believe in and not preach the entirety of Jesus Christ. You can't represent that any more for symbolic nature than Leviticus 1, and I believe it's verse 7. Could be 8 or 9, but I believe 7. the whole burnt offering, every bit of it. I'll give you another analogy to that, or similar, is when Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples. And he said, I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life in you. There is nothing that more symbolizes your consuming something than to ingest it into your body. When you take the bread and you chew it and you swallow it, you're doing it in remembrance of his body that was broken for us. For what reason? For our sin, to make atonement for our sin. When you eat it, you cannot symbolically or any other way better describe that you are taking it totally into your body. You're accepting the whole thing. When you drink the wine, the same thing. The blood, the wine, or the juice, whatever you use. Mostly it's juice. The grape juice or whatever you use. You are doing it in remembrance of him. In remembrance of what? In remembrance that he had to shed his blood. And as we read, if it wasn't last week, the week before in the Old Testament, that the life is in the blood. And the blood was shed representing that he poured voluntarily, allowed his blood, his life, to be shed, meaning he sacrificed and voluntarily gave up his life to pay for my sins. When you drink the juice, you are doing the same thing. You are ingesting it. You cannot exemplify as a human being, in my opinion, any better than eating or drinking something that you take it all. That is exactly the Jesus Christ the Bible preaches. It does not just preach, and I'm not here referring to anybody. Of course, I don't have this problem. When I do local Bible studies, as you can imagine, people automatically jump and make the assumption that I'm criticizing the church, their pastor. I can honestly say, believe me, I am not. I don't have a church. I'm not a pastor. I've never been to Bible college. I am not trying to run anybody or anything down. I am just saying, you turn on, read, internet, YouTube, Google, whatever the technology is, radio, TV, you have got a tremendous flooding of knowledge of Jesus Christ, but very few preaching the total Jesus Christ. It is very, very common today to preach his love. And yes, his love is very important. But the total Jesus Christ, and I'm going to ramble here a little bit, the total, the Jesus Christ of the Scripture who came in the flesh, is the Jesus Christ in the Scripture that John 15, 13 through 15, in fact, let me read that. That is so critical. I'm going to go to John 13, 13 through 15. You call me Master and Lord, and you well say, for so I am. I'm in the wrong chapter here. Bear with me. I said 15, and I'm in 13. And he wondered, didn't say what I wanted, what I thought it did. It says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The love of God, and to not explain the love that God has towards us, which transcends every concept of human love there is. It is infinite love, infinitely above everything that we can imagine. The only way that I can even make an attempt, not a good word, but I'll use it, to understand the love of God, the love of God, not the love of people, not the love of God in a human sense. The true love that God has for us is how? To understand that his love is so infinite for us that he did, that is indescribable. He laid down his life to pay for my sin. Until you understand and accept that, that you are a sinner. We were born into sin. And that Jesus Christ's love is so far beyond anything we could imagine, the love of God, that 1 John 2:5 states very clearly, the love of God, and Romans 5:5-8, love of God, that preposition, key. Until you understand the condition of you spiritually that we were born into, every one of us, and that is we were born into sin. We have willingly sinned. We're not innocent victims. We have willingly taken on sin. And the love of God is so beyond human understanding that it literally required him to express it by dying for us. So he's going to pay for all of my life of sins. That is a love that transcends human understanding. But until you understand that, you cannot believe in the true Jesus Christ of the Scripture. Let me go to Mark 1:15. Mark 1:15 says, repent and believe the gospel. You can, that's in red. Jesus Christ said that. You cannot repent and believe the gospel unless you do both. It's not one and the other, one or the other. I mean, one instead of the other. The one comes with the other. You do not believe in the true Jesus Christ of the Scripture unless you repent. You're believing in a Jesus Christ who's a wonderful person, a great teacher, a great benevolent person, the great love that Jesus has for us, and I have no problem with that. He has love for us. But that love that he has to be filtered by what he did to show us his love. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to convict you, which only the Spirit can do, John 16:8-9, John 16:9, the Spirit will convict you of sin. 8 and 9. When you allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin, and you admit that you are a sinner, and you turn from Satan to God, and you repent, you are now going to experience the true love of God. The true love of God is not just a love that we like to compare to human love. Well, we do good things for people. Or we show them kindness. All those things are a result of the true working of the Holy Spirit in you. So again, I hope I'm making the point. To just preach certain parts of Jesus Christ, folks, is the spirit of Antichrist. If I do not bring Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel, and I just highlight the good parts of the gospel, the forgiveness, the salvation, and I do not bring to you the first part that Jesus Christ said in red in Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel, I am preaching a gospel other than the gospel of the Bible. Now, I'm jumping around a little bit, but just try and follow me. I'm going to go to Ephesians 2:1-7. This is the condition that we're born in. And This is where we are. And it is going to tell us in Ephesians 2, 1 through 7, that the Jesus Christ of the Bible, while we were in our worst condition spiritually, he willingly died for us. When we were enemies of his, hatred towards him, and we're going to show that in Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. Here I go. And you, he has quickened. Quickened means made alive. Who were dead in your trespasses and sins. The love of God is so beyond human love or any manifestation of human love that I can exhibit. If I was the most loving person in the world, it's not even taking a thimbleful of water compared to what the Atlantic Ocean has. We're talking about a love that transcends human understanding or any human ability. That is the love of God. It's not preachable and teachable by acts of kindness, by good things we do. Those are results of the true Holy Spirit working in you. Let me continue. He has quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sins. We did nothing to deserve it. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which we all know is Satan, that now works in the children of disobedience. That's every one of us. No one has a free pass here. This is what we're born into. This condition, call it original sin, call it what you want. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others are now. We are no different when we were born into sin. We had to have a love that transcends anything that we can think or imagine. That is the love of Christ. That is not a love that I can, from a human perspective, grasp. But when I understand my sin nature and how horrendous sin is, and the wrath of God is so strong against sin, and I realize that only the death of the sinner will pay for sin. And that is in Leviticus and Hebrews. Leviticus 1:17, and I believe it's Hebrews 9:22. The sinner must die. God showed his love while I was still against him and sinning willfully, that he died on the cross to pay for my sin. When I repent of my sin that caused him to have to go to the cross to redeem me, then the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, things that are spiritual can only be understood by spiritual wisdom, meaning we can't understand spiritual things just by human explanation. When you understand that Jesus Christ of the Scripture, the whole preaching and teaching of him, what he did for us and why he did it, because I willfully sinned, as it says here. Now the Holy Spirit, by grace, will explain to you, if that's a proper word, he will make it open the Scripture to you to where you understand this love that God really has. But do you see where if I'm not preaching my need for a Savior and that my willing sin, as it says here, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, and where in times past we walked in that. If I don't grasp that, I have nothing to repent of. How many people, even in I've heard people in churches say, well, I'm a good person. Yeah, I think I'll make it. I've done this. I've done that. I haven't done A, B, and C, but I have done D, E, and F, which are good folks. That is only preaching a partial Jesus Christ. That goes back to the spirit of Antichrist that John said in 1 John 4:3. That is a person who is only preaching a partial Jesus Christ. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Not saying they're Antichrist. That's silly. That is the spirit of Antichrist, which is not giving the totality of the true Jesus Christ in the scripture. Hopefully this is making sense. This is not something that is like reading a declarative statement.
Yes, absolutely.
Is it making sense, Winter?
It is.
Okay. And this is a very, very, this is not a topic you're going to hear often. Special. I don't have a church. I have nothing. I'm just, this is something that I recognized recently. Not saying I'm the only one, please. I am very much against that mentality. If you're not listening to our ministry, you're not hearing truth. No, I don't want to get within flying distance of that. I'm just saying that, folks, we have to read what the Bible says. We have got to preach the true Jesus Christ, the entire Jesus Christ the scripture is preaching and teaching, or we are denying that he came in the flesh. We're preaching another Jesus Christ. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Am I giving any predictions? I haven't got the vaguest idea. I don't know who the Antichrist is, what it will be. It could be a person. It could be an organization. It could be, I don't know. Right now, with all these 5G networks going up and microchips being inserted, in, you know, and all that can happen, I don't know. I'm going to admit ignorance. I'm going to only admit to what I see in the scripture. The spirit of Antichrist has been here since Adam and Eve, and I will back up and show you that too. That's when it started. Let me continue with our condition in Ephesians 2:1-7. The more you grasp this, the more you see the phenomenal, inexpressible, in human words, love that God has for us. And until you understand that inexpressible love that he has for us, that transcends human explanation or human accomplishment, you cannot repent. You will have nothing to repent of. But when you understand how horrendous our moral condition was and what he did for us to save us for no reason, other than his love was infinite. Let me continue. Verse 3, among whom we also had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. This is describing everybody. This is not, as I always say, a Monopoly game, if that even exists anymore, where you draw, you got a free pass. You know, don't go to jail, go to go, collect $200, whatever it is. There are no free passes. Through Adam, all have sinned. Through Christ, all are offered redemption. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. This is me. And we're by nature children of wrath. We are children of wrath. Don't even think you might have been good enough. It's impossible. It's telling us here. Impossible. But God, who is rich in mercy, but God, for his great love wherewith he loved us, you cannot preach the love of God without preaching Ephesians 2:1-7, which is the condition we were in and would still be in if we did not repent and believe the true gospel. Not just parts of the gospel, the true gospel. Even when we were dead in our sins, He quickened us, which means made us alive in Christ. By grace you are saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. For the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Now, if you go into Romans 5, it talks about how we were at enmity with God in the condition of Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. We were at enmity. Enmity, I believe, if you look in the dictionary, is deep hatred. That is the condition we were born into through the sin that, the original sin, if you want to call it that, that was passed on from the seed of Adam to every from the seed of Adam to every human being that ever lived. There is a way that we can be redeemed, but you cannot preach redemption, love, or anything else without preaching the total Jesus Christ. I think I've made that point clear. Let me go and read now. I threatened a bit ago to read Galatians 1, 8, 9. Let me go to that. This is the Holy Spirit, who is God. And God is love. That's not just a cliche. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus Christ. The Word is Christ. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word is God. Well, how do you know that's Christ? In verse 14 of John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is Jesus Christ. But it's the whole Word, the whole counsel of God. Don't pick and choose what sounds good, and you don't want to step on anybody's toes and let them think that they're not good enough to go to heaven, because they're not, folks. And again, I'm not out here campaigning for anything other than let's read the Scripture. I'm not a preacher of doom or whatever they call us, or someone that just wants to be critical. I just want to get down and read the Bible for what the Bible says. And today we are not preaching repent and believe the gospel. We're preaching believe the gospel, and we're preaching pandemically. Let me use that word, being it's so popular now. We're preaching the love of Christ, but we're not explaining to people why this infinite love, how that infinite love is expressed by dying for me, because I have nothing. I'm bankrupt spiritually. I am spiritually totally bankrupt. And yet you got poor people that are being led to believe. And I hear it in church buildings and people who go to church buildings. I think I'm good enough. I believe I should make it. I talked to a man less than a month ago, knowing him very well. I hope I make it. I think I've been good enough. That has nothing to do with the price of coffee in the Himalayan mountains. Nothing to do with whatsoever. Do you believe, preach, teach, and trust the Jesus Christ of the Scripture? If not, you may be buying in to a gospel of Antichrist. But let me read what the Holy Spirit says. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Accursed? I'm sorry to get this graphic, but to me, accursed means lose your soul. This is so important. The Holy Spirit says it twice. I don't know. I'm not saying there is nothing. I don't know of a place where the Holy Spirit says something and then repeats it verbatim a second time in succession. I'm not saying there's not. I don't know. But this shows you the graphic seriousness of this phrase. As we said before, verse 9, and I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what you have heard, let him be accursed. Do you see what the Holy Spirit, who inspired every word in this scripture, is saying? Let that person be damned if he is preaching anything other than the Jesus Christ of the scripture. Preach it all.
Amen.
Okay. And please, if I'm not making sense, in fact, Winter, I'm going to use you sort of a thermometer here, a barometer. When I'm getting where it's not making sense, I'm going to ask you to stop me, because even though I know what I want to say, I want to make sure that scripturally that I'm explaining. I don't want to rely on Carl's explanation. I want to give it to you in the scripture, because you know what? When the lights go out tonight and you're laying in that bed and the enemy comes and throws doubts and fears in your mind, troubles of all kinds, fears, doubts, you're a hypocrite, you're not good enough, blah, 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 blah. I don't want you to take Carl for anything more than a roadmap pointing you to the words of the Holy Spirit, who can solve your problem. Even if you say, hey, I think maybe I am believing in another Christ other than what was preached. Great. Not great that you are, but great you acknowledge it. If you're willing to say that, yeah, that is repentance. Repentance is not that I yell and scream and cry. Although those things can happen, I'm not criticizing emotion. But when you agree with God that you're wrong, that is repentance. And when you repent, the Holy Spirit will then flood your mind with the truth of the gospel. That's why you can't believe the true gospel of the true Jesus Christ without repenting. And you can't repent unless you know you're a sinner. And there are honestly people who are being led to believe that if they're baptized or if they say the sinner's prayer without preaching the law to them, the commandments, that they have willingly broken the law, like Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. You are gambling on those people buying into a club and just think they're part of an organization. Folks, we can't do that to people. That is the spirit of Antichrist. I'm not saying anything about the times we're in, the Antichrist, who he is, what it is, what the market, none of that. I know nothing. But I am
now,
saying.
That part, I want to make sure I'm following you on that part, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
You're saying you have people getting baptized and saying the sinner's prayer that are willingly, and what followed that? I got lost. I apologize.
No, please. That's what I'm using you, I guess, as a sounding board here. When we are not preaching the total Jesus Christ of the gospel, the true gospel, when we are accentuating his love, his benefits, his forgiveness, without giving people a reason for why he has such great love and what his forgiveness means because of our wretched condition. Unless these people do not realize that they can come and be baptized and never have repented of their sins. I'm not saying they do. It's not my job. It's not my job to say, Winter, I think from some of the things you said, you're bordering on being a hypocrite. That's not my job. The only thing I'm trying to do.
Well, and it might be. You know, some occasionally the Holy Spirit may tell us to tell somebody, you know, hey, have you thought of this?
Yes.
Or, you know, whatever. I mean, Jesus said hypocrite all the time to the Pharisees. So if he does put that on our heart, we better say it. And then, you know, the blood is off our hands, which is a symbolism of the responsibility is off our hands, because some of us do have that watchman spirit that if you know, somebody is in danger. It's we're their friend to help them. And then if they see and agree, then they're back walking like they're supposed to be. And if they don't, then at least the responsibility, it says in Ezekiel, I want to say, is put back on them.
You're right. That's Ezekiel the watchman. I'm just saying, though, what I want to do is if I am not giving this to us so that we can now judge other people. This verse is being given to us so we can look in the mirror spiritually. Because the enemy, until your heart stops, is going to try to get you to not believe in the true gospel. So, we're back then with reading in Galatians, again, two verses in a row. Preach no other gospel, meaning no other Jesus Christ. He is the gospel. You can't separate him from his word. The word is Jesus. The word became flesh. If we preach anything other than that, and people come up and get baptized thinking baptism will save their soul, or if they think saying the sinner's prayer, and they don't really realize the depth of sin that they are in the unsaved condition, they do not understand the true love of God. They don't understand the true gospel. I'm telling you, there are people that I am afraid by the spirit of Antichrist that was in 1 John 4:3, who may not have heard the true whole gospel. And they may have been baptized. They may have been said the sinner's prayer. Have said the sinner's prayer. Bad grammar. And they may believe that they're in the club. We can no longer take that gamble with people, folks. If we truly love people, we have to tell them the horrendous condition they're in. Their spiritual condition is so bad that God himself had to die to redeem them and forgive them of their sins.
Well,
and
you brought up
relationship. No, go ahead.
You brought up John 15:13 and 15:15 earlier, and 15:14 says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command."
Amen. Amen. So I'm hoping that I have, and I'm using Winter's judgment here, that I have given you, given us what the spirit of Antichrist is. And it's not just something for today. It's been in the church 2,000 years. Now I'm going to read to you some things that are in exhortations that are basically saying the same thing. I want to go to Romans 15:16. And I'm just picking around here. I'll be honest with you. I don't use study guides or anything else. I read the scripture. I may not be choosing these in the order that someone else may think they make more sense. Just write them down. I want you to write these verses down, everybody. And I want you to go to the Holy Spirit and let him open the scripture to you. I can't do it. All I can do is give you the scripture. I can't do it for myself. How could I claim to do it for you? I can point you to the scriptures and let him make sense of them. He's the one that will open your eyes to the scripture. In fact, Luke 24:30-32, where they said after they were walking with Jesus on the road, that didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened the scripture to us. That's what I want you to do with the scripture that I'm giving you. Okay, we're going to go to Romans 15:16. Let me start with 15:15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort. Boldly. That means not pussyfooting around, not trying to be appealing, not trying to win a friend. This is not about making enemies or winning friends. This is about conveying to people who are in a spiritual state of bankruptcy what God did for them when he came to Calvary 2,000 years ago. And there is redemption. There is forgiveness. There is a new life. But that can only come through preaching the truth. Okay. Nevertheless, brethren, I've written you more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that God has given to me. The grace, unmerited favor that God gives us. There's nothing that I earn or deserve. Romans 4:16-5:2. It is by faith that it might be by grace. By grace, you can't have faith without grace. You can't have grace without faith. You can earn nothing from God. Everything comes from his unmerited grace. What is the trigger that causes that grace to work in your life? It's your faith in him. Not your faith in your faith, in him. Nevertheless, okay, verse 16, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ. This is the Jesus Christ of the scripture, the whole Jesus Christ. This is going in and ordering a meal and consuming the whole meal as opposed to a buffet. I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering what? The gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Gentiles, they were the heathen world. In this time, the Jews believed in the true Messiah, The Jews believed in the true God of the Old Testament, the true Yahweh God. They believed in the one God. When Paul went after the stoning of Stephen, the apostles were then commissioned by the Holy Spirit to go to the Gentile world. And it says here, you're a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And what are you ministering? The whole gospel of God. And why? So that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. If I am not giving people the entire gospel, the good, bad, and the ugly, or however you want to phrase it. The good is easy. Heaven, salvation, prosperity. All kinds of things. And I'm not saying those can't happen. That's up to God to do what he wants. But let's give the reason we have to have it and preach the true gospel. If you do that, it will be acceptable to God. And that is Romans 15:16. Now let me go back to the very beginning of that. I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? If you say, well, you're not a preacher, you're not a teacher, you're not an evangelist, I'm not this, I'm not that. Good. We've got, I think if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's approximately anywhere from 12 to 14 or 15 spiritual gifts listed. The reason that I say approximately is because it talks about spiritual gifts in Romans. It talks about them in 1 Corinthians 12, also 1 Corinthians 14. And some of the gifts are broken down a little more. Some are combined. But here, let's say we got 12. You have 12 spiritual gifts. No, Winter may not be an evangelist, although she might be. My wife may not be a teacher. But she might be. Every one of the spiritual gifts, folks, is given for one reason, and that is to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Everything in the spiritual gifts, and don't take this as my wisdom. I have no wisdom. I don't even want to convey to you that it's warm in the summer in the Northern Hemisphere. and you accept that. I'm exaggerating to make a point. You accept nothing I'm saying. That's why I work very diligently to give you the scripture. We are all, in Hebrews, ministers of the New Testament. I remember listening to a person, I'll never forget it, and I'll pastor, I'm not an evangelist. I don't have the gift of this and that. If you're born again, you have at least one spiritual gift, and you are a minister in the New Testament. And you are a minister in the New Testament just as other people are, maybe with different gifts, but it's all one purpose, and that purpose, that you be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Nothing is sanctified by the Holy Spirit unless it's the truth. Every jot, every tittle of his word that he inspired. He inspired every word, every jot and tittle, I think is the phrase that's used. He inspired everything. He's not going to sanctify, bless, approve anything less or anything in addition. His word. So now we're back down. We're ministers. Okay? Let me go to Luke 24:47. This stuff has gone through me, what do they say, a hot knife going through butter or whatever you want to phrase you want to use. I want to read Luke 24:45-7. Remember, we're ministers in the New Testament. You may not be a pastor, but you are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 45, Luke 24, then opened he their understanding, this is Jesus, that they might understand the scriptures. That is why, again, for the 10th time, I keep giving you verses. I want the Holy Spirit's words that he wrote. And you do not need Carl's explanation. You need to go to the same one that I go to, Fanning. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and he said to them, it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. Why did he have to suffer? Now we're getting in. Remember, see, he does not do any preaching or teaching in your ministry without bringing that point in, because you can't bring in the suffering unless you ask why. And you can't bring in the why unless you admit you're a sinner. You're willingly a sinner. And once you understand the insurmountable thing he did for us by willingly paying for our sins, you cannot have the Holy Spirit open the scripture to you in Luke 24:45 about the love of God. That is the thesis of what I'm saying today. Luke 24:45, then opened he the understanding that they might understand the scripture. Until you understand your need to repent, you can't understand the love of God, a false gospel, the spirit of Antichrist. The enemy does not want you repenting. Let's establish that. Okay. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Let's use the word pandemic. Mark 1:15. Repent and believe the gospel. Luke 24:47. Not just remission of sins, repentance. Why do I need to repent? Then you need to preach the whole gospel of what we were born into, Ephesians 2:1-7, Romans 5. We were born. We are in enmity with God. Enmity, I believe, means hatred. That's the condition an unbeliever is in. I don't care if you're what you do. The Bible says it. I add nothing to or take away. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. That is not just a phrase. It is a phrase.
Enmity is the state of feeling or being actively opposed or hostile to something or someone.
Thank you. And Romans 5, where it ended, she was God. Think of what she just said. But remission of sins and repentance should be preached in his name. Again, you don't follow Carl's study guide that I wrote, which I didn't, or my commentary, which I didn't, or my advice, which I don't have. What do? You go to John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father except through me. The Holy Spirit cannot sanctify and bless anything that is not going by way of Jesus Christ, God's Son. He is the only way to the Father. There's only one mediator between man and God, and that is Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. The Scripture says it. And he says, beginning at Jerusalem, preach in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Start right at home. Branch out. That's what they did. Now, Romans 15:16, you're a minister. You're a minister of the New Testament. To do what? To preach the gospel, to evangelize people. What do you preach? Luke 24:47. Repentance and remissions of sins preached in his name. His name, not my acts of kindness or goodness. All those things are results that will automatically happen. You don't have to go and get a lecture or write down 15 things you will do to show God's love. When you've got the Holy Spirit through your truly repenting and believing the true gospel, you can't help but do these things. You don't need my study guide on how to express God's love in your life. What you need to do is go to the Holy Spirit and pray. James 1:5, apply this to every situation in your life. Everything. If any of you likes wisdom, ask, and it will be given. The only condition about not being given is if you don't believe. Read it, James 1:5. Go to him. You don't need to have a lecture and practice and things to do and that random acts of kindness. They will not be random acts of kindness. When you truly have the Holy Spirit, 2 Timothy 1:9 tells you that the works that God has prepared in advance for you. When does he mean by prepared in advance? 2 Timothy 1:9, before the worlds were created. Read it. I don't have to give you a list of things to do. You won't be able to not do it. Winter, I think you're a good example, even though I don't know you, just in the little we've talked. You know, I don't think you sit here and have a study guide and a plan book on doing these things. The Holy Spirit is the one motivating you. Holy Spirit motivates you. You'll find yourself, folks, waking up in the middle of the night or in the morning with thoughts on your mind you haven't thought of yet. This is the Holy Spirit working on you. You don't have to go to Carl's classes every Sunday to see how to show random acts of kindness. Is kindness going to come? Yes, it is. But 2 Timothy 1:9, these are things the Holy Spirit prepared for you before the worlds were created. Ephesians 2:8-9. Verse 10 talks about the works that a believer will exhibit. But what does 8 and 9 say? You're saved by grace through faith, not of works of your own, so no one could boast. Once you're saved by grace through faith, you've repented of your sin, and you've had the remission of sin because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit has blessed that. The good works that you will exhibit in Ephesians 2:10 are a result of your saved by grace through faith, not of works of your own, so no one can boast. So how can we now insert works of our own once we're saved? It's ludicrous. It doesn't make sense. It is the work that God predestined for you if you followed him in 2 Timothy 1:9, before the worlds were created. I'm repeating that third time, but it's so important, so key. Don't get caught up with people who are showing you and exhibiting to you the things that they do and what you do to show God's love. Folks, when you got God's love in you, you can't hold back. And if you can, then you got a serious problem. I don't think you can. If you are born again and you are truly in your will, want to walk in the light, walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. The Holy Spirit is not going to allow you too many opportunities to resist what he wants you to do. There's a gentleman years ago in a town near where I'm from, or where I live now. He made a comment that God's reward for doing his work is doing his work. Go to God. Go to the Holy Spirit. If I don't know where to start, fine. None of us are born with that knowledge. I can't tell Winter or my wife where to start. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, which is what we're lacking, go in prayer and you will receive it. The only disclaimer is if you don't believe it. All right.
So before you go on, you had asked me to remind you to tell your listeners that you're going to be a guest on my show Saturday night.
Go ahead. You do it. Continue.
Okay. I host a call called 1 Minute Till Midnight, Conspiracy Exposed. And Saturday night, 7:30 Pacific, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern until an hour and a half after that, my special guest will be Carl, and he's going to be talking about Sennacherib, the character in the Bible that is in the work, or is working in the lives of all believers today. So that's going to be a very exciting show that you don't want to miss. So if you're a fan of his teaching style, I encourage you to get on the call.
Thank you for saying that, because I'll be honest with it, I even forgot I asked you. I'm glad I asked you to mention it.
You're welcome.
I am so laser. I'll tell you something. I am so laser focused on this. I don't know. We could have an earthquake here, and I'm not sure I'd see it. All right. Now, we've established the fact that we are ministers. Different gifts, but we are ministers of the New Testament. And the ministry of the New Testament is to preach and teach. Repent and believe the true gospel, the whole gospel. Luke 24:47 tells us what we're to preach. Repentance and remission of sins through Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Add nothing to it. Take nothing away. Now I'm going to go to the warnings, and these are what you're probably going to, we're going to probably spend a lot of time on this, the warnings about the spirit of Antichrist that is in the church today. It's everywhere. It's not saying it's in the church. The church has changed. This is 2,000 years ago. I'm going to go to Acts 20, and I'm going to read 28 through 32. 28 is good because it's a wake-up call to me. In other words, you're a minister in the New Testament. And we read that in Romans 15:16. Didn't say I'm an ordained minister, that I've got the gift of a pastor teacher. Didn't say that. But I am saying that we are ministers of the gospel with different gifts, all for one reason. Preach and teach boldly repentance and remission of sins through Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourself. That means don't just consider this casually. Take heed. pay attention. Think of what this means. This is a statement that I won't say haunts me. That's the wrong word. That's not what it's meant to do. This is a statement that I, every morning, because I do Bible studies every day, take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer. I don't care what your gift is. You are one who has been allowed to have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts, to do what? To feed the church of God. He has made you overseers to feed the church of God. Feeding them might mean materially, but not what it means here. It means feeding them with the Word of God, the true Word of God, the complete Word of God. You see where that right of there is totally in conflict with 1 John 4:3. He that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. If you're not preaching the Jesus Christ that the Scripture is preaching, all of it, including repentance and the reason for repentance, and that He did it for you, what you couldn't do. Remember what it said in Ephesians, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works of your own, so no one can boast. Oh, take boasting out of it. That would have put an eraser to a lot. To feed the church of God, that is our responsibility. And this is the verse, this is the phrase that really sets me back on my heels, which He purchased with His own blood. Think of this. 2 Timothy 1:9, that God has given you abilities and works. Not random acts of works or random acts of kindness. He's given you specific things. 2 Timothy 1:9. Before the worlds were created, if you follow Him, it's already planned out what your gifts are going to be and what your works are going to. Read that in there. Don't take my word. Read it in 2 Timothy 1:9. It doesn't mean you're predestined to do it. Doesn't mean that we have no choice. It means that if you follow Him, those works are written for you before the creation of the world. Get this next statement. The church that feed the church of God that He purchased with His own blood. I don't know what your hobby is, but take anything. Let's say you like remodeling furniture. You like restoring automobiles. Whatever it would be. You just spent 2 years doing something, and I come over to visit you. And just through carelessness, I knock a 5-gallon bucket of paint on your car that you spent 2 years restoring. You're taking to shows, rod and custom shows. I drop paint or varnish or some acidic substance or rip furniture, you restore furniture, whatever it is, antiques. And I just have no concern whatsoever with all the time you put in. Even from a human point of view, you're going to be upset with me. And you're going to think in your own mind, you dipstick. Don't you even consider the amount of work I put into this, what this cost me? Can you imagine God looking at me someday and saying, I gave you gifts before the world were created and died on the cross to restore your relationship to me so that now you could by grace do the work that I've given you? And you decided you were going to go with your own ideas on what works. You never even once knelt and prayed and asked what I wanted you to do. Just think of that. This is a human conversation. I would be humiliated. And when He says, the church I purchased with my own blood, if that doesn't wake us up, folks, This has been my motivating verse for probably the last year. When I do this and when I prepare this stuff, it's just not that I can rattle my jaws for an hour and a half. I'd better be praying and asking the Holy Spirit to give me what he wants me to say. Now, I've not had a vision. I don't hear God talking audibly, but I hear him in my mind, I hear. And I believe he directs everything that I do if I'm seeking his advice and his help. Not advice, I'm seeking his will. But whatever, just look at this verse from a human point of view and think God is going to say to these people, you decide to follow somebody like Carl's opinion, who really didn't even believe the true gospel, but he was going to show you the good works to do. When I have determined this for my people before the worlds were created, and those are the people that I purchased with my own blood, this, folks, is something that's unanswerable. I don't want to be around when anybody's asked that question. Okay, let me go. That's verse 28. Preach. That is an exhortation against preaching. That is the spirit of Antichrist. That is preaching and teaching another Jesus Christ than that of the scripture. Let me go to 29 through 32, and you're going to see where this spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. I've got 16 minutes. Hopefully I can get through part of it.
And you're in Ephesians right now?
Well, no, I'm in Acts 20.
Acts 29, 32?
Well, yeah, I just read the part about you better be careful of what you're telling people, because I died to purchase, I shed my blood to purchase these people. Don't go giving them another gospel or a list of works to make them feel they're part of the Harper Valley PTA.
The 29 no. must have been a different book, because Acts only has 28 chapters.
Okay, I'm in Acts 20.
Okay.
28. I'm sorry.
I thought
Acts
I heard
20.
29, 32 on something, but maybe not. I'll go back.
Well, we're going to go 20. We're going to go verses 28 through 32. Now, might I have said it wrong? Absolutely.
I'm with you now.
Don't ever think for a minute that I say what I mean. There's times when I write verses down and I'll come to something that has no relationship whatsoever to what I've written. Acts 20, 29. I know this. This is the Holy Spirit talking to Paul. Oh, my wife just gave me a note, Winter, which you'd already, she sold me.
Oh.
She's already, my wife knows that I won't remember it. Which I didn't. Thank you. For this I know, this is the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, that after my departing, that means his death, shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. The flock are in the church. The grievous wolves are 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit states expressly that in the latter times, people will depart. Well, here, let me read that. I want you to put next to verse 29, 1 Timothy 4:1, and I'll give you real quickly what that says. The Spirit expressly states that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. You can't depart from the faith if you weren't in the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits and preaching doctrines of demons and devils. This is in the churches. This, folks, is something the 1 Timothy says. This is something Paul is warning of in 20, 29 through 32. This is the same spirit of Antichrist that we started the program an hour and 17 minutes ago with 1 Timothy 4:3. In latter days, there will be people preaching that do not recognize, do not believe, do not teach, do not preach the Jesus Christ scripture. This is the spirit of Antichrist. But let me continue. After my departing, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. The flock are those in 28 that he bought with his own blood. They're redeemed. Be careful how you feed them. Also, verse 30, of your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. How many people do we have today? This is a rhetorical question. Who are preaching and teaching continuously to get you to follow them, buy their books, buy their commentary, go to their conferences, go on their cruises. Folks, do all that stuff. Go on vacation for a year and do it all. But your faith is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. You determined to know nothing but him and him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Your only focus is on the Jesus Christ of the Bible. The total Christ. They will speak perverse things, trying to draw you away after themselves. That is pandemic today. Therefore, watch and remember. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says here. We think this is just a casual over morning coffee thought. Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. You want to see the seriousness of preaching a different Jesus, not the Jesus who came in the flesh. Look at verse 31. In 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. You can't be any more laser focused on a problem. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, the word, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word is God, the word became flesh, dwelt among us. And verse 29, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You can't separate Jesus Christ from the word. The whole word, not just parts that appeal to people, that bring crowds in. We're not interested in numbers. We are interested in people born again, repenting and believing the gospel. I, brethren, commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. That's why I continuously refer you to Scripture. You don't want to go on what I say. I can't depend on my thoughts, but I can be built up daily on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to convey to you. And that's what I want you to start doing. But it takes effort. By effort, I mean not that we go out and work for it. Effort means that we have to be aware. We are in a spiritual battle. Let me read, folks, why this is not something that we can explain intellectually. I have had a period of my life. What's that?
May I ask you a question? So say there's a caller on the line that is wondering what is meant by believing in a different Jesus. Can you, in a nutshell, explain the true Jesus versus the different Jesus?
Yes. Well, here. I think I can. The true Jesus is what we read in Mark 1:15 and Luke 47. That is to repent and believe the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ. But you must repent. You must realize you are a sinner.
And repent means
without mentioning
changing your mind, and the sin is transgression of the law.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
Absolutely. Okay. where there is no preaching of the law, there is no knowledge of sin. That's in Galatians.
So
the whole point of... Go ahead.
If we're following an idea that the law was nailed to the cross, for example, that would be an example of another gospel.
That is
because
right.
It was, okay.
Hey, you know, let me bear down on that.
For the benefit of clarification.
You are very correct on that. If we think that we no longer are responsible for the law, folks, we're being preached a false gospel. We are responsible for the law. But God knows that we can't do it. It says in Galatians, the law was our tutor to turn us to faith in Christ. We are responsible for obeying the law. But our obeying the law cannot be done in my own ability. So am I contradicting myself? No. When our faith is 100% in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, He now becomes the one who obeys the law for us. On Judgment Day, everybody is going to be judged by the works they've done or not done. They're going to be judged by the law. You're either going to be told that you cannot obey the law and you're going to lose your soul, or you're going to be told that you trusted in Jesus Christ to be your substitutionary sacrifice. Go back to the animal sacrifices. You put your hand on the animal. That was transferring your transgression to the animal. The animal then paid for your sin. Jesus Christ not only was conceived by the Holy Spirit, He was conceived without sin. He led a perfect sinless life. He obeyed every jot and tittle of the law, every commandment, every one of the Old Testament ceremonial and ritualistic laws of the Old Testament. He obeyed them to perfection. He is our substitutionary obedience to the law. Does that make sense?
It does.
Point is very well taken. You can't just say, well, I'm no longer under the law. You're no longer obligated to obey
the
law.
We're not under the law. We are no longer under the law, but now the law is in us, the new covenant. Hebrews 8,
right.
8 through the end of the chapter says that the new covenant would mean that we would no longer have to tell our brother, know the Lord, for all men will know me, from the least to the greatest, because the law would be written in our heart. And I'm confused about the all men part, because is he talking about all the believers that he's called, or is he talking about literally all men? Do you know?
I think,
or am I getting off track?
Read Titus 2:11, please.
Titus 2:11?
Please, it's right before Hebrews, I think.
Okay.
I'm only going to answer this question by giving you a scripture. It's the next. Philemon is right before Hebrews. It's the book before Philemon.
Titus is itty bitty. Hold on.
No problem. Don't worry about it.
First and second, there's Hebrews, and you said, let's see here.
Titus 2:11. I'm hoping this answers your question.
Hebrews is James, and then it goes to Peter, and then John, so it must be before.
No, go before Hebrews.
Yeah, there's
before
the,
Hebrews.
The Colossians. Oh, my goodness.
No, that's all right. Keep going, Colossians, and then
Hebrews,
go through Timothy. But
2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, Colossians.
You're getting there. You're getting there.
Ephesians, Galatians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians.
Oh, boy. We got
I mean,
2
Corinthians.
Go to Hebrews. Can you? Let me read it to you then. Let me do this because we're getting low on time. The grace of God The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now I'm going to read 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men can count slackness. He is long-suffering to us, Lord. He does not will that anybody should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. And then read Romans chapter 1, where it talks about that nobody from the beginning of creation has any excuse, that God has given the grace of salvation to all people. So read Titus 2:11, 2
okay.
Peter 3:9.
Really, one page before Philemon. In 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Okay. Now read 2 Peter 3:9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
The grace of God has appeared to everybody. That's the Bible saying. It's our choice whether we willingly accept it or we remain willingly ignorant. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 1, I got 90 seconds. Boy, I don't know how this goes so fast. Romans chapter 1 talks about even by observing the creation, everybody is intuitively aware of the fact that there is a God.
Right.
And nobody
Evolution.
Is without excuse.
Yeah.
I am going to say that that would be my answer to you. God wants all people saved.
Right.
Okay. Hopefully that helps. We're going to continue next week, and I've got a lot more to go on this because, folks, this spirit of Antichrist was alive and well and functional 2,000 years ago, and it started in Genesis chapter 3, and we'll get to that next week. As well
and by
as
the way,
review.
I share a block with somebody that has a show called Center Incentive. If you have a hard time finding my show, that show starts at 6, and my show is immediately following it. So if you call the 319 number at 7:30 Pacific, you'll be able to listen in as Carl is the guest.
So I will join the show at 10:30 Eastern. Hey, I've got 6 seconds to go. I thank you for your time, folks. Yep. Have a good day. Hopefully talk to you next week. Take care.